Subscribe today to the Texarkana Gazette and you'll get an Apple iPad to use at no charge, plus a Sunday paper delivered to your home. Every day you'll get an electronic version of the Gazette downloaded directly to your iPad. It's the ultimate home delivery. No more waiting, wet papers, or going out into the cold. And everything you want, the latest news, puzzles, and coupons, is right there. You can zoom in to make articles easier to read, or have the iPad read them to you aloud. Enjoy full-color photo galleries and embedded video content, and access the Gazette's archives back to 2002. For only $29.99 a month, it's a great deal. Call 870-648-1209. That's 870-648-1209 to subscribe to the Texarkana Gazette today. Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm Carl Richter. In this week's special episode, arts and entertainment reporter Aaron Brand takes the wheel to introduce and interview local musicians Heather Lynn and Jace Bryant. They talked about their musical partnership and performed a few of their original songs. Without further ado, here's Aaron.
If you pay attention to the local music scene, two names pop up a lot, Heather Lynn and Jace Bryant. They perform together, separately, and in Heather's band, The Deacons. Places like Fat Jack's and Hopkins Ice House host their live shows, which include Heather's flair for showmanship and audience interaction. She makes music an experience, and she'll dance with you. Heather grew up on East Texas gospel and area Opry's, but a few years ago, she paired her rich, bluesy voice with a band playing country, southern rock, and blues. And her music partner, Jace, is a longtime vet of a local music scene in bands like Kanan and Buffalo Child. Jace is comfortable with indie rock, country, and blues tunes and more. He is versatile, playing covers, but also his own original songs, Swamp Boogie, as he calls it. For both of them, live music is what they love. They also enjoy cigars, and Jace has a new kitten named Lebowski. Here's our talk with Heather Lynn and Jace, music included. Welcome to the show, y'all.
Hey!
It's good to see you.
Thanks for having us.
I'm here with Heather Lynn and Jace Bryant. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk and play some music.
That's right.
Now, the first question I have, because I've interviewed both of you before, kind of back earlier in your careers, Heather, when you kind of first were starting to play live, mm-hmm. and Jace, I've interviewed you for a different stories.
A couple of different things, yeah.
But also for two bands that you've had, Kanan, mm-hmm. and then the previous band.
Buffalo Child. A long time ago.
Now, knowing you guys kind of separately, having interviewed you, you guys are kind of a little bit of an unlikely pairing.
We kind of are.
And so I wanted to find out how you came together, what brought you together, and what's kind of driving your kind of partnership with music?
Well, Paul brought us together, really.
Paul brought us together, yeah.
So before I worked with Heather, I was working with Taryn Ashley, and Paul Holder, our drummer, was working with Taryn and I. And she was getting ready to move to Colorado, and Paul started picking up gigs with Heather kind of in the interim. And then after Taryn moved, I didn't have a gig, and Paul was like, hey, we need a guitarist in this outfit. And so he just brought me on board, and our first gig ever was at Pink Ride at the Elks Lodge.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and second was at on the border, I think.
And I had just learned all this material, and so I was nervous, and
he did well.
And luckily, we only had to play like an hour for that gig. I didn't have to learn all of it for the first gig. But
What did you have to learn for that first gig?
Oh, just a lot of the classics that we play, Eagles covers that we do, and Doobie Brothers, and just a lot of the classics that we do. And I knew some of the material already, but it was daunting trying to get that whole set list together in a short amount of time.
Because it was a very short period of time.
Yeah, it kind of happened quick.
Yeah, but I had a guitar player at the time that. He's a great guitar player. He was tired. He'd been doing it for 40 years. He was ready to, kind of duck out. His parents were kind of having some health issues, so he needed to be there to take care of them. And my drummer was kind of, he was working a lot, and so that's when I kind of got Paul on board, and Paul brought Jace on board, and it was kind of fate, I guess you could call it. it's been the biggest blessing I've ever had. I'll put it to you that way. So,
yeah, I kind of wanted to kind of find out like a little bit like kind of where your musical styles merge and the things that you listen to. I know that you have got like this kind of East Texas country blues thing going on, and I know Jace, you have a kind of an indie rock thing. But also a love for blues, and I know Kanan was really bluesy, so...
Yeah, and Kanan was more heavy rock, too. It was more like heavy psychedelic 60s kind of thing, you know?
Right.
I don't know, I come from all over the place when it comes to music. Like, when Kanan ended and I started working with Taryn, that's when I started doing country music, and that's... I write a lot of country stuff now, and I have a lot of that, you know?
I come from a big gospel background.
That's right.
I was a gospel singer for 11 years. You know, I've always been in country music. When I was had a band in high school, and we were country music. And then when I got out of high school and was raising a family, I was a gospel singer. And then in my 30s, I went, my passion is on the stage. That's where I'm an entertainer. I tell people all the time, I'm more of an entertainer than I am a singer. And that's just where my joy for it lies, is in the entertainment part of it. So
I know you've said that you like being the lead singer rather than the backup singer.
I played with a few bands where I was just a backup singer, and Jace knows I'm not a harmony singer. I'm not the greatest.
You've come along over the years.
He's taught me a lot over the last, almost
3.5 years.
I was always a front person, and that's just where I'm supposed to be. So.
Nobody can steal the limelight from Heather. She's on stage. She's going to be
Ask my mama. I've been that way since I was little.
Well, I guess that kind of leads me to another thing I want to talk about, is this kind of playing live music. I know that for both of you, that's just where it's at for you.
Absolutely.
So it seems like another point of the connection that you guys have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's church for me, you know, like... I've had discussions with a lot of different musician friends over the years, and they talk more about like the purity of playing their own music and the personal place they get to when they perform live, and I kind of relate to that, and I can get to those same. But the thing that takes me there is not just about what I'm doing musically, but it's about the performance. It's about the community. And see it, you know, it's more about seeing people dance and sing along and forget their troubles for a little while.
Yeah, what do you like to bring to that community? What do you hope that someone gets
Well, just that spiritual experience of, you know, having a drink or having dinner with friends and family while they listen to good music, and then having a dance and singing along to their favorite songs, or, you know, just that ability for them to just kind of escape for a minute. You know, I think that's what live music is always about, is providing that kind of separation from your daily reality into a one-off experience that you might have, whether it's a big concert out in some pavilion or if it's just over at Fat Jack's, you know.
Right. You play lots of different types of venues, and so you still kind of bring that same feeling for live music no matter where the venue is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any better feeling in the world than the energy of a crowd. If the energy is there, you can drive that whole show into a whole different direction. It can go one way or it can go another. For me, I mean, I am completely driven by how happy I make that crowd. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of drugs in this world, but that's a great high. That is a great high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you kind of recognize that joy or that feeling?
It's an
in the
energy.
Audience?
It's an energy. It is a complete energy.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those things that you can only recognize it in the moment. You know, it's almost like if you recognize it and hold on to it too tight, then you lose your grasp on it. You know, you kind of have to see it and stay separate from it and realize that it's not just internal, but it has to do with everybody that's in that room. It's a community feeling. It's not just a personal thing. You know, it's a shared thing.
And we play our handful of shows that we just feel like background noise. You know what I mean? But I think those shows are really humbling in a lot of ways, because then you get those shows that are, oh yeah, yeah. This is what I'm. This is yeah. This is it. And you appreciate it. You appreciate every time it comes around because you know not all of them are that way. But
plus the background noise shows. You know.
Their paychecks.
They keep the lights on.
They do. you do them no matter what. Because yeah. even though that's all they you know may be, and you never know who's there. You never know what that show will lead to. Yeah. You right. really don't. Could there be somebody out there who really is appreciating it, and will go, hey, I want to really like to book y'all for this.
Well, it's like we had that yeah. last weekend in Grapevine. We were mm-hmm. playing at this new restaurant that was on a golf course, and yeah, we were kind of background music. For the right. there wasn't like that energy that we wanted to feed yeah. off of, and of course Heather's pretty good at generating that when it's not there organically. She's pretty good at drawing it out of people.
Yeah, I would imagine that you like to step out into the audience and just mm-hmm. be a little confrontational with.
I do.
Oh yeah. Music.
She won't put up with people not clapping for her. She doesn't.
I mean, I will force it. I will make them stop and clap for me.
I've heard her say on countless occasions, I'm not above begging for your attention, guys.
Well, it's just a small audience here today, but how about a song?
Yeah. You can do that. Yeah. And Dirt Road.
Dirt Road, okay.
Yeah.
You want to tell them about
it? Yeah, so this song was written by a friend of mine up in Washington State named Josh Buffer. I've never met him person to person, face to face. But he reached out through me through Instagram, actually. And it's like, I would really like to write a song for you. Wow. And so I'm like, that's great, but I don't want no fluff. I'm not a fluff kind of girl. You know what I mean?
has it happened before that someone has just kind of contacted you?
You know, not like that. No, not out of the blue. Not with me. Now, we have friends that are songwriters that we've collaborated with and, you know, that are great songwriters. But this one, he just came to me, and I told him kind of what I wanted, and he wrote it. Mm-hmm. And then Jace put the music to it, mm-hmm. and it really turned out to be a pretty good little song. It's called Dirt Road. It's just kind of about your favorite watering hole, you know what yep. I mean?
Awesome.
Backwoods bars.
Backwoods bars, yeah.
Let's hear it.
Swinging doors keep swinging, whiskey ain't watered down. There's a live band on the stage, chicken wire all around. Beer bottles, peanut shells, broken on the floor. And I wait till 7K, she gets tipped a little more. 2 miles down the road and left at the creek. Watch out for the cattle, y'all, and an old double tree. You know it when you make it, it'd be hell of a night. So get your good time ready and come join us inside. Boston's are all shaky, parking lot made of dirt. Cost sharing for a good time on Sundays after church. Fried gizzards on the menu. One flat beer on tap, and there's potluck every Wednesday night at a cornhole match out back. 2 miles down the road and left at the creek. Watch out for the cattle, y'all, and an old double tree. You know it when you make it, it'll be a hell of a night. So get your good time ready and come join us inside. Jump shots, it's my go-to. More times than it's never.
2, 3, hey.
2 miles down the road and left out the creek. Watch out for the cattle, y'all, and old double tree. You know it when you make it. So get your good time ready and come join us inside. So get your good time ready and come join us inside.
That's Dirt Road.
That's Dirt Road, yeah. We call that our little gypsy feel song.
That sounds great.
Have you played some places like that you've described there in the song?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
In all honesty, I think in my mind when I told him to write the song, Fat Jacks really came to my mind. Yeah, I mean, because that's a home bar.
The local dive watering hole kind of thing.
Yeah.
We've played a lot of that. A lot of places around the area that are like that.
I mean,
MJ's. There are a few places in Shreveport we played that are kind of.
Backwoods of Louisiana.
Yeah. What was that sandbar? Where was that at? That was somewhere down in, that's East Texas, isn't it?
That's down in Kilgore.
That's
right. And it's right on the river, and it floods.
It's just one of those bars that's got like stilts on the side of the river. Okay. I don't even think it's open anymore.
Gators might be in the audience.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's okay. No, I mean, it's. Those are some of the best places, though. You find some of the best people in those places. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask, now that we are coming out of the whole pandemic, mm-hmm. and places are opening up, and how does that feel, kind of being back out? I know that you guys did some stuff during the pandemic last year, kind of with playing live for people, but online.
Yeah, we did a couple of live streams, and then.
But I think we were.
We also did a lot
way more fortunate than so many musicians out there.
Well, like you and I, the other guys, not as much,
right?
Because it was hard to find opportunities for a full band.
Because the money's just not there.
But we were able to do a lot of private things and stuff.
And a lot of small acoustic stuff.
To keep us working through.
And keep small things just were, keep our faces and keep. Yeah. We didn't want to get lost. But, you know what I mean? I feel like at this point in time, we're kind of on this.
Well, things opening back up have kind of shifted our direction, because before the pandemic, we were focused a lot more in Arkansas, I think, and even in Louisiana, things shutting down, and we lost some of our regular gigs, but things opening back up, we've gained a lot of new, we've expanded into the DFW market now, more into Oklahoma, and even just honestly, we've been focused on Texas a lot more.
Yeah, we really have.
But those opportunities weren't there before the pandemic, and now as things are kind of opening back up, we're seeing it's just kind of shifted our direction, and I think in a positive way.
Yeah,
a lot of the new opportunities we're getting are what's the best word? They're just leading to even more and more opportunities.
Yeah. It's like we're on this ride that's really progressing forward at a very nice rate. I mean, in my opinion,
it's been a year of growth.
This has been
for
a
us,
great really. Year of growth for us.
How often do you guys play it just as a duo? And how often do you play with the Deacons?
When I'm booking, I do all the booking. I try to just, during the week, Thursdays and Fridays, it's just Jason and I, because the guys have to work. I mean, we work too, but it's easier for us than it is for them. And so the weekends, Saturdays, and if we have an occasional Sunday gig, those are all full band.
I think the average week for us is a Friday night as a duo and Saturday night with the full band. I mean, last week we had a Thursday night with a full band, and then Friday night acoustic, and Saturday night.
And before that was a Wednesday night with a full band. So. I mean, when you you get calls to open for bigger names, you go.
Heather's been getting some phone calls. So,
what are some of the big names you've opened for?
And this year, we've opened for a lot of the Texas country acts. Mm-hmm. Josh Ward and Wade Bowen and Randy Rogers three times, Jason.
And he's really busy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, we get a call for a lot of the Texas country, and
we had Stoney LaRue a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Neil McCoy, we've opened for him a couple of times. Great guy. Come October, we back-to-back. Same weekend.
Because they got rescheduled.
Yeah, we'll have the Kentucky Headhunters on a Friday night and the Bellamy Brothers on a Saturday night. So that's we don't really get to. Mingle with them a lot of times, but it looks good on your resume.
Well, I mean, the way it happens is we go and play these clubs, and And if we went over the owners, the sound guys, the crew, the people that, you know, the staff, that's really the people you want to win over when you are playing these new places. And so, but that's what leads to those opportunities is when you impress the sound guy or the guy that does the booking or whatever, then they're going to give you that call back and say, hey, I've got the Bellamy Brothers coming. I've got someone, you know, and I want you to be the act for it. So
do you kind of like approach that kind of set list or that show a little differently than you do when you're kind of the headliners?
Yeah, well, generally, we do like, you know, 3 and 4 hour shows where we're playing covers all night and we throw in our original, you know, material, kind of spread it out throughout the whole night. Mm-hmm. Whereas when we're opening for somebody, generally, we're going to only get about a 45 minute to an hour time slot. And so it's more focused on our original material and then fill it in with covers, you know, because that's the whole goal, really, is getting our own material out there. So.
Yeah, and, you know, you want to be the hype band because that's what you're hired to be.
Yeah.
You know, so you play those covers that really get them hyped up. And then you throw, because, I mean, I feel like our original, and I've had it told to me, that our originals really fit well into, you know, the covers that we do. I mean, it's the same style of, you know, you got a little bit of rock, a little bit of country. It's just that southern rock feel, you know. Yeah. And so we just try to tie it all in there, be that hype band that we're hired to be. And make people love us. So.
Well, tell me a little bit about your songwriting. I know that Jason and I have talked about songwriting quite a bit before. But you guys working together, how do you approach your songs? And
he's definitely the songwriter.
what drives the lyrics?
Well, that kind of just depends on the moment, really. I mean, there are going to be a lot of different things that drive lyrics. And sometimes, usually when I write a song, it starts with some kind of lyrical theme. But I actually wrote a new one a couple of weeks ago that started with a guitar work that I was just noodling around on, and I found like a little melody, and then words just kind of came out after the fact. And so, but as far as like we've worked in writing together, and we don't get to do that as much as now as we did.
Need to.
Yeah, we need to get back into the practice of it. But it generally, like, that process starts with Heather having, she might have a hook or, you know, just a couple of lines or something. And then I'll take that and I'll try to, I just kind of start searching for a melody. I start searching for a chord progression, and then I help her flesh out words and just build it a step at a time.
So it's a true collaborative process. And You might be the main lyricist, it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I think that I think one of my gifts is that I'm able to take what others have done and then like refine it. So it might not be
right.
It might not just necessarily be all my words, but it might be like, oh, those are good words. But if you take out those two words, it'll slap.
I've heard
a little,
that so.
It'll
many
slap
times.
A little harder right here.
Yeah.
You know,
you're like an editor.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll hear a melody in my head, and in fact, I'll write a song, and I'll send it to him, and I get him to actually sit down, and we'll hash it out, and he's like, okay, I know that. Listen, do it this here, and that's what I need him for. I mean, because he is much more the writer. I've never been a writer. It doesn't come naturally to me. I've written, you know, 6 or 7 songs that we do, but it's not a natural thing for me. It doesn't just flow out of me like it does some people. And I really have to work at it. But he's really tolerant of me.
Well, for me, I've grown into like I'm riding a wave of songwriting right now. I've been writing a lot, but I've also, you know, I've written some with Heather, but I've also discovered I'm getting better at collaborating with multiple people, and I found a couple of other guys that are local or regional that I've been collaborating with, and we'll just kind of pass ideas back and forth. And I was never really good at that. It's something that I'm having to, it's a skill, a discipline that I'm having to learn. And there's a vulnerability to it. And you have to have trust, with the people that you're working with, you know, and there's a lot to it, but it's refreshing to just kind of discover a new way to create and not feel like it has to be all me, but I don't have a problem recording a song that, you know, a buddy of mine like wrote all the verses to, and I just kind of helped with the chorus or something, you know, like.
Do you get a different kind of, I guess, a sense of satisfaction recording or playing rather the original material rather than covers?
For me, when you when you've played this song enough, especially around here, like there's the song we'll do later, it's caught on around here to the point where people know the words. Mm. And when you see them singing your own songs back to you,
oh wow,
that is that moment.
That's always a good feeling.
Wow. Yeah. Or the song I wrote for my daughter, when you sing it to them, and these people literally have tears running down their eyes because they're mamas that can relate. Job done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's definitely. I mean, and I've had that in my past projects as well. I remember having quite a bit with Kanan. I had a song called Foolish Blues that everybody, it was just a catchy, simple chorus. But it got to a point where anytime we played, I could just back off the mic because everybody was singing along. And that's always a great feeling. There's always a satisfaction to it. But again, kind of touching on what we were talking about earlier, I've grown to a point where it's not just about, it's more about the satisfaction that everybody, like that everybody as a whole, experiences in that moment. That's more important than if it's my song or if it's somebody else's. It doesn't matter, you know.
So you want to play us another?
Yeah.
Sure. Speaking of songs that you've written.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna let you tell this story because I go on and on about this story.
You went a long time.
My part of this story is very humorous. Like, I can make you laugh, but we want to
laugh.
A couple of years ago, Heather and I entered in a songwriting competition, and this is down in Vidor, Texas, which is just outside of Beaumont. It's a weird little town, kind of a Twilight Zone-ish kind of feel when you go into this town. but we were in a songwriting contest. It was a really cool little bar restaurant there that we performed at. We drove down there for this competition. It was about a 4.5-hour drive. Played one song, sat around and waited while everybody else played a song, and then found out at the end of the night that we won. Drove all the way home at the end of that night. The reward for winning this competition was to get to go back a month later and open for Tracy Byrd and Dean Dillon, which Tracy Byrd, I believe, is from
Vidor.
From Vidor, Texas.
And we apologize, Tracy. I bet
Tracy listens to this.
Tracy, we apologize for calling your
time
weird.
Anyway, it was like in a little convention center or community center kind of setting.
Yeah, a little venue.
We go back down there. We didn't get paid for this. We drove 4.5 hours back. Played three songs, 15-minute set, basically. Actually, one of the guys that did not win the songwriting competition still got to open up as well. He got a 15-minute time slot too for some reason. But it was a very strange experience. It was really great to see Dean Dillon perform. If people aren't aware of Dean Dillon, he's actually the main songwriter for George Strait. Most of George Strait's hits were written by Dean Dillon. He's less a performer and more the songwriter. He's also the guy that wrote Tennessee Whiskey, which is one of the most famous songs in the past several years.
Great resume.
And he offered it to George Strait, and George Strait passed on it, so George Jones picked it up. And then, of course, Chris Stapleton made it.
But to hear him do Marina Del Rey.
Yeah.
And he's a storyteller.
Yeah. That was really the great reward from this experience. But Heather's kind of scary to ride in a car with.
Keep your head down.
We had been on the road already most of that day, and we were driving back.
It was late.
Very, very late.
3 hours in the morning.
And so I was like, and I was feeling very inspired after watching Dean Dillon perform. So I was like, we need to write. I'm going to write a song, and I'm going to keep you awake while I'm writing this song. Anyway, this is what we came up with. It's called Make a Fool, and it's just it's kind of a song about the absurdity of life and not taking it too seriously. So. Cool. Sang in Beaumont, Texas, Friday night. I was back in Texarkana before daylight. I had a few too many. I didn't make a penny. Thank God I made it home again with my life. I was in deep Louisiana Saturday. That homemade moonshine washed my blues away.
It's Sunday morning drive. I think I'm still alive. It don't really matter what I say. You know, life ain't gotta be so serious. It's all good and bad, so don't get mad, cause it's all gonna turn to dust. Just give them hell, make them yell, do it with a smile. Make a fool out of yourself every once in a while. Sunday night at the parlor playing ball. Well, I told myself that I wouldn't drink at all. But the barman mixed the gin, and it's just now kicking in. And Monday blues, they're giving me a call. You know, life ain't gotta be so serious. It's all good and bad, so don't get mad, cause it's all gonna turn to dust. Just give them hell, make them yell, do it with a smile. Make a fool out of yourself every once in a while. Hey, hey. Make a fool out of yourself every once in a while.
I think that picked up all right. Don't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
You know, that actually leads me to like another question I wanted to ask you. Mm-hmm. Tell me about each other's quirks.
Now you want him to talk forever.
Imagine being on the road together. It sounds like you guys get to know each other pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, I think you hit on it earlier that we're very different. We're very different people. We come from, you know, we just are. We're very different. But for some reason, it works. It's like opposites attract kind of a thing. And he's like a brother to me. Yeah. I mean, it's a family thing now at this point.
Yeah.
And
we don't travel as much together as we were probably last year.
No.
Now
but
we've got the fifth Beatle involved that. Now. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Heather's got her a man that takes her.
Oh, okay.
He plays a big role with us.
He has grown into a very big role.
Do you put him to work?
Yeah, he's a roadie. He's a sound man.
Well, he's kind of put himself to work, really.
He really has.
That we asked him. No. He just wanted to start contributing, and he's now like watching YouTube videos on how to run sound and pick out frequencies.
He's literally teaching himself to learn, run sound.
And it's a big help. That's
a perk.
Help. Yeah.
That's a perk in dating, yeah.
Yeah, when you've got somebody who's as committed to what you do as you are.
Yeah, he's extremely supportive.
You don't. He believes in us, and that's what he'll tell anybody. I believe in what they do. You know. So.
But yeah, we. I would say that the chemistry that we've grown into is probably like I wouldn't call it necessarily natural. At least not at first. I think it was kind of hard fought. Like we had to kind of earn it with each other and figure each other out.
Yeah.
It took some time. It wasn't like it wasn't like I joined up and it was just automatically. You know, felt right. It was. It took a little bit of. Patience and figuring each other out. Probably about a year.
I remember the night it happened.
Yeah.
Well, as far as on stage.
Okay.
As far as the chemistry vocally on stage.
I don't know if you've ever told me this story.
Really?
Tell me.
No, I don't know how you don't remember it. Because you looked at me the same time I looked at you.
Well, I mean, we've done a lot of gigs together.
But it was about a year in, and just all of a sudden, I don't even remember the song. I don't remember the song. I just remember the moment. And it just hit, and it hit right for once. But it felt like, okay.
Yeah.
And we just looked at each other, and in my mind, that was the moment that it became, all right, we're solid. We're good. This is.
But that took a while then.
Yeah, it did.
Well, like I said, it was hard fought, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it took us, we had to earn it.
Yeah. So. But, I mean, I don't think we would still be here for, you know, no reason. I think it was all meant to be, you know. I think we had to earn it to get to where we are. So,
did you have to kind of learn how to deal with each other's quirks? And
I don't know. We're all pretty laid back.
We're all pretty easy. Like,
there's no drama. There's no.
That's one of the best parts about this band. It's the same with the other guys too, with Paul and Brady. It's and Paul even told me at one point, it's been a while back, but he was like, "This is my," you know. Paul's played in bands all over the world. And he said, "I think this is my favorite band I've ever been a part of." And I was like, "Really?" It's like, "You've traveled to Europe. You've traveled all over the country in tour buses and stuff." And he's like, "Yeah, but there's just no ego in this band. There's no, like, everybody's so laid back and everybody gets along, and it's so easy. That's, everybody listens to each other.
It is easy.
And I think that's pretty special, because
I mean, you can take telling something, you know, hey, all this back, or, you know, and we listen to each other. It's you know. Yeah. I'll be the last one to tell you. You tell me what to do all day long. I'll try to fix it, I promise.
That's Paul Holder.
Yeah. Paul Holder.
And who's the other member?
Brady Stillwell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which he's been.
Brady's been with me since.
4.5 years or so now.
Yeah, 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah. 5 years now.
And then Paul and I are a little over 3. Mm-hmm.
Which it seems longer than that, it really does.
I think we have time for one more song. You want to tell us where you guys are going to be playing anytime?
So what I've got for Friday the 13th, August 13th, we are at the Rail Yard Saloon. We'll be home all weekend. We'll be at the Rail Yard, which is also just down the block. And then that's just you and I. Mm-hmm. And then that Saturday, we've got the full band over across the street from that at Cross Ties.
Okay.
Their little outdoor stage there. Okay. So.
Good weekend at home.
Mm-hmm. And what's the best way to keep track of y'all?
Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's TikTok.
YouTube is relatively new.
YouTube is relatively new. TikTok is relatively new as far as putting the whole... I've had it personally, but I'm starting to incorporate them. They don't know it, but I am. I don't even know if they watch it, but, you know.
What is your SN on TikTok that people can follow?
On TikTok, it's Heather Lynn Music, just like it is on Instagram. Instagram is Heather Lynn Heather Lynn_music.
Heather Lynn, and Lynn with an I.
Yeah, L-I-N-N.
She gets it misspelled all the time.
We'll put the links in the notes for the podcast.
But as far as show dates, Facebook is the biggest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's pretty good about keeping little flyers posted up online and stuff. Yeah. So
we have time for one more song?
One more song? You want to tell them about?
Yeah, so the last song, a song I wrote about just right before Jace came on board. And long story short, and I there is more to this story, but I tell people all the time, it pretty much sums up what I've done in life, just taking the long way around and doing things the hard way and getting to where you are in the end result. So this song is the one that a lot of people around here know, and I'm proud of, and it's called Long Way Around. So. When life's got you down and you cannot stand the sand, all the people in your crowd, yeah, take the long way around. When your baby's acting like a clown, but all you feel on your face is afraid, and you're about to come unwell. Yeah, take the long way around. Yeah, take the long way around. Yeah, take the long way around. When you don't want to be found, yeah, take the long way around. Our shortest path ain't
Lovely. Heather Lynn, Jace Bryant.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Yeah. Thank you. This is going to be great. Yeah.
Thank y'all.
Can't imagine two better people to start off our music, live music, much podcast.
Thank you so much. Yes. Enjoyed it.
Yeah.
On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. Carl Richter produces and edits the show. Aaron Brand and Carl Richter wrote this week's episode. News stories are based on Gazette staff reports. Texarkana Gazette podcasts are made possible in part by a grant from the Google News Initiative Journalism Emergency Relief Fund. We'll see you next week on The Line.